Everyone. Everybody, welcome to Word of Life Church, even you guys who are at home and connected by phone. It's a little different. This is our second time actually meeting here together in this facility. Last week we had an outdoor event, so we were able to meet at Waldheim Park, and that was an awesome time for any of you who came out. And thank you to all the volunteers that helped us. We needed that, but it was a incredible time. So I just want to welcome everybody here today, personally and here physically, and everyone over the airwaves, those who have called in. And so, you know, last week we were blessed to be able to have Prophet John Mark Poole here with us in Allentown. And so I'm going to just recap a little bit of what he shared, and then I'm just going to go into some other things as well. But last year, I had said that Prophet John Mark Poole was with us here in July. And if you remember that message, I have it in my notes. I take very, very, very good notes. He said that 2020 was going to be the year of the prophets. So I've been staying tuned to listen to what the prophets have to say during this time. You know, if you believe the prophets, we will prosper. Second Chronicles 20:20. If we believe the prophets, we believe God's prophets, we shall prosper. So I've been tuning in to those prophets and keeping notes on what they've been saying about this time that we're going through, you know. And so I felt that we felt it was very important to bring John Mark Poole back into the Allentown area to just let us know what God is speaking to you regarding this time. And so this is what he said when he was speaking to us last week. He said, there's going to be more shaking. He said, there's going to be more testing. He said, there's going to be more fire, refiner's fire. He said that the church is being seasoned, that there's a shaking going on. And he said that there'll be 7 more months of this shaking. 7 more months, he said. He said God is allowing it. He's allowing it for a reason. And he said that God wants a bride. The church is his bride. He wants a bride who is totally sold out to him, passionate about him. The church has dabbled in very much a lot in the world. We've seen that. You know, the deception is very great. And so God wants his bride, the church, to return to him. All to him. Everything else out, just him. He wants the church to love him passionately. John Mark kept using that word over and over again for those of you that were there. He said he wants a bride who is white hot for him. White hot for him, not for the world. He wants a bride that falls in love with him like they never did before. That's what he's calling forth in this time. And he said this. This is what John Mark said. You know, we had a pretty large gathering, larger there at Waldheim Park than we could have handled in here. There was Gary counted like 113 or 115 somewhere in there. We don't even have that many seats in here. We couldn't have held that here. But he said this: if you want a prophetic word, fall in love with God like you've never fallen in love with him before, and you will hear from him. He said God is coming back for he's not coming back for a lukewarm bride. He said he's jealous over you. God is jealous over you. He wants all of your heart, all of you. And, you know, usually when John Mark comes to our area, we've had him here for, you know, at least 3 years prior to this. And every time he's come, you know, we've had him here. And so we have a, you know, kind of small gathering. And he usually has prophetic words. And he's very good with those words regarding different people. But at Waldheim Park, he didn't have a prophetic word for specific individuals. It was for the whole church. And so maybe some of you might have been looking for that prophetic word, but he said, if you want a prophetic word, then fall in love with God like you've never fallen in love with him before. That's what we're to do during this shaking time that we see going on. He said he wants his bride to love him intensely. And then he said, John Mark said that we must first love God before we can love others. He said the two most powerful commandments are to love God and to love others as we love ourselves. But he said we can't love others unless we love God first. And do you have the scriptures there, Kathy? he referred to Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39, where he says, you know, this is what Jesus said to the lawyer. The lawyer was asking him, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said this. He said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then he continued on to say, this is the first and great commandment, to love the Lord your God. And the second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two greatest commandments. And if we don't have this up there, but if you go on to verse 40, it says that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Is it interesting that the prophet was focusing on these scriptures when he came last week? And so John Mark said that this is a season that when we have to be passionate about God. He said that God will speak to you when you lay your head on his chest. When you get intimate with God, he will speak to you. You will hear him. You'll hear him. And so we're to be intimate. He said, keep pressing in. Keep praising God, just like we were doing a while ago. Keep praising God and don't quit. Do not quit. No matter what the pressing is feeling like, do not quit. He was encouraging the church. And so he said also, tell the truth in love. Tell the truth, but tell it in love. Don't hold anything back. He said, we never agree with sin, but we should tell the truth in love. He said that the church is going through the test to be the best that we can be. And he said, you know, the church will be letting some things go that have distracted us that we don't really need. That's what's going on in this time. And then he said this, which I thought was very encouraging to me. I hope it's encouraging to you. He said that in 7 months, this shaking is going to turn around. Amen. That's encouragement, guys, from the prophet of God. Believe the prophet and we shall prosper. But he said, hang in there, pursue God, and don't quit. He said, love those who come against you. Love them. You know, it's easy to love those who love you, not quite as easy to love those who don't. But he said, we're to love. And we can't love others unless we love God first. And I like this. He said, love doesn't need me to fib to you to make you feel good. And no, we're to tell the truth and to tell it in love. We never agree with sin, but we tell the truth in love. We're not to hold anything back, but speak only in love. And so with all this shaking, you know, going on, you know, with all the things that we're seeing coming at us, you know, happening all across America and even around the world, I believe there's a need to focus on our identity in Christ, on our identity. I said last week that we would be focusing on our identity for the next several weeks, and I plan to follow through with that. When there are so many worldly things, you know, coming against us, like we're seeing this shaking, it can actually shake our own foundation. You know, we can get a little unsettled. Can you handle this shaking for another 7 months? What if it was 7 years? Can you handle it? You know, I believe there are some people that are at the point that they said, you know, 7 more months? I can't handle this 7 more minutes. But I say we can. Whether it's 7 months, 7 years, 7 decades, we can handle it. Why? Because he lives in us. He lives in us. I believe it's all a perspective. It's a perspective. And where you place your trust. And our perspective is indicative of how we see ourselves. What's our identity? And who do we trust? Who do we trust? Do we trust God or do we trust the world? I believe in order to come through this shaking and the fire, we need to learn about and maintain our identity in Christ. He doesn't change. He's solid all the time. Doesn't change. He's our foundation. You know, when Adam and Eve were on this earth, when God placed them into the garden, he placed them into a perfect environment. Perfect. They had everything they needed. But then comes along this little slithering snake to shake up their world. There was some shaking going on in that garden. Excuse me. And because Adam and Eve didn't know their identity as children of God, they didn't know who they were, Satan was able to deceive them with his lies, and they ate from that forbidden tree, specifically when God told them not to. So Satan was able to convince them that they didn't have all that they should have. He was able to convince them that they didn't have it all, and so their sin caused them to separate themselves from God spiritually, and death entered in. And so that's what happened in that garden. But could we take a look at it? If you could pull out your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 3. I just want to read that. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read about that fall in the garden again. It'll take another look. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." So Satan came to deceive. That was his mission in the garden. And he deceived Eve. He told her that, you know, if she ate from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that she would be like God. And she would know good from evil, and that she surely would not die. That's exactly opposite of what God spoke to her. Exactly opposite. And then so Eve takes the forbidden fruit and gives it to Adam to eat. He eats as well. They virtually what they did was they bought the lies of the enemy, and they listened to Satan. Satan deceived them. He actually deceived them. In the area of their identity, they were children of the Most High God, and they lacked nothing. If Adam and Eve would have understood their true identity, I don't believe they would have been tempted at all to eat that fruit. You know, they already were like God. They were children of God. They were like him. And God had already provided everything that they needed. If they wanted to know anything, they had God. He knows everything. They had everything that they needed. But the enemy was able to deceive them. Scripture says that, you know, God met with them regularly in the cool of the day. God had his eye on them. He had his ear to them. But they choose to submit to the enemy All they had to do was maintain a close relationship with God. But the devil deceived them into thinking that they didn't have it all. And because they didn't have a revelation of who they were as children of God, they allowed the enemy to deceive them, and they allowed that deception into their thoughts. And then they acted on it by disobeying what God had told them to do. So basically what they did was they elevated Satan's word against what God told them. They elevated Satan. They chose to believe Satan in that time of shaking that was going on in the garden. They chose to believe Satan. And as a result of their lack of identity and their disobedience, the rest of chapter 3 says that they lost the garden. They lost their home. They realized that they had sinned. They now knew that they were naked. They were naked. They didn't have clothes on all the time, but now they had that revelation of their sin and their nakedness and their shame. So now their bodies would experience death. Their spirits were separated from God. And so all that was because they allowed Satan to attack them and deceive them in all that shaking. And so if they would have known their true identity, I don't believe they would have been tempted to disobey God at all. And then when we come over into the book of Matthew and into the book of Luke, actually this happens to be a similar story, but they're both in chapters 4, both of those books. Jesus is under the same attack as Adam and Eve were. Jesus is being attacked in his identity by the enemy. And that's what's going on in, let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Let's read about it a little bit. The results are vastly different in this story. Okay, Matthew chapter 4. Go to Matthew chapter 4. I think I have that here. And I want to look at, I'm going to start at verse 1. And I will read to 11. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, and unless you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Verse 8, again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came in and ministered to him. So Jesus knew who he was. He knew his identity. And Satan attacked him during that 40-day fast. Jesus was fasting, so Satan knew he was hungry, right? After 40 days of not having any food, you might be a little hungry, right? So that was the way Satan was coming at him. He was going to use that. And this is what he said. He said, "If you are the Son of God." He's attacking his identity as the Son of God right there. Command these stones to become bread. And, you know, Satan was trying to tempt him, but Jesus responded, "It is written." Jesus is showing us how to respond to the enemy when our world is shaking. It is written. Again, Satan said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. But Jesus said again, "It is written." It is written. He used the word of God. We need to know what the word of God says so that we can use it in times of shaking. And then he said, he tried it a third time, and Jesus knew he knew his identity, and he didn't waver. The devil tried to get Jesus to do what Adam and Eve had done previously in the garden. He wanted Jesus to cave in like Adam and Eve did during that shaking, but Jesus didn't. And the difference was because Jesus knew who he was. If Jesus would have caved in, Satan would still be in control, and we would still be children of the devil, but Jesus knew who he was. And then in Matthew, we just read in there in verse 11 that the devil left him. But if you look at the parallel version of that in Luke, that verse, Luke 4:13, says that the devil departed from him until an opportune time. That's an important statement, I believe, that Luke brings out there. So we need to know who we are in Christ, and we need to maintain that revelation of who he is in us. That's the way we run the devil off of our own situation. We need to know that word of God. You know, it says resist the devil, and he will flee. He will flee. But does that mean that, you know, that we're not going to see any evil in this world? You know, evil happens. This world is evil. So no, we will be seeing evil. As long as man can be deceived, as long as you can be deceived and manipulated by Satan, we're going to see some evil things going on. You know, we all have choices. Every single one of us. We all have choices. And we can open the door to the enemy, even if we're a Christian. But we need to know who we have living on the inside of us. We need to remember who we are in him. He's already done everything that we need to have done for us to live on this earth. And he's already set us up to be overcomers in any situation, no matter what the shaking is. Doesn't matter. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. By the word of our testimony. So what are you saying about all this? Patricia has gotten some victory over something in her life. And she's asked if she could share. Should she use this microphone, honey? Or which microphone should she use? Okay. She asked if she could share her testimony. And it's important. We love testimonies. The Bible is full of testimonies. We love to hear them. Go ahead, Patricia. Share.
Is it on? Hello? Okay. Good morning, everybody. So I went through my own personal shaking. It started at the beginning of the year. I went through a lot of job losses and, you know, just a lot of pressure. And during this time, I began to pursue God prior to what John Mark Poole had said we should do. And I tell you, when you pursue God, he does come after you. And it's not always fun. I felt like I was in a pressure cooker at times. And the pressure was so intense at times that I could hardly stand it. But it was really a time of repentance for me, because I had areas of my life that I hadn't surrendered to the Lord. But as I began to pursue him, he pursued me and revealed to me areas of my life that weren't submitted to him. And I was so grateful. I had lumps on my head. I had a really big one on the top of my head. It's like, they call them fatty tissue cells. And that fatty tissue cell was embarrassing to me because I had to wear my hair a certain way just to cover it up. No matter how I flipped it, like, I had to make sure it was covered because I didn't want anybody to see it. And the one morning, before I got up to go to work, I decided to spend some time in worship, which that had been something he had been showing me, that it's important to worship him through our trials and tribulations and things that he wants us to let go of. And I listened to an anointed teaching online by a minister, two of them actually. And as I was surrendering to the Lord and just loving him and allowing him to deal with the things in my heart, because I was angry, I was bitter, I mishandled finance, so he was getting into my heart about repenting for that those things, and I just had a lot of unforgiveness in my heart towards people, towards situations, and it was causing me just to be just upset and, you know, frustrated all at the same time. And I had people coming against me that claimed to be Christians but didn't always really behave like Christians. But coming back to what happened in the morning, I just began to worship God and praise God. And I had been laying my hands on this lump and commanding it to go, and I would press it in my own strength, I'll be honest. But this particular morning, I laid my finger on this thing and just began to worship God while I was listening to Anointed Worship and listening to them pray. And the lump completely, I'm going to check it, it's about the size of maybe a pea, but it was probably the size of like that big.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe not that big, but that big. It was ugly. Like, you could see it, and it's, you can't even see it now. You'd have to touch my head to feel it, but completely dissolved under my hand.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
I just want to encourage everybody, when God is pursuing you, let him show you what you might have weak in yourself, because that was so important for me, and he's bringing that healing as I continue to surrender to him. So,
Awesome.
Praise God.
Thank you for sharing that. Wow. We all go through some shaking sometimes, right? All of us. Anyway, you know, scripture says that Satan was stripped. Jesus stripped him. And we have to remember that. You know, the Bible says in Colossians 2:15 that he disarmed the enemy and made a public spectacle of him. And so does that mean that that's effective even during shaking times? I believe absolutely. Absolutely. It doesn't change. But if we allow Satan to influence us to think that we don't have it all through God, if he would be successful in attacking our identity, then that would cause us to shrink back. It might cause us to shrink back and not believe God for all the things that he's already provided for us on the cross. Satan doesn't have any new bag of tricks.
He doesn't.
He's still doing the same thing, the same way that he did to Adam and Eve and to Jesus. He still tries to attack our identity. And he'll come at opportune times. You remember that scripture? I have that scripture highlighted in my Bible. You know, if Satan could deceive people in an absolutely perfect environment, could he deceive people in an imperfect environment that we live in? Absolutely, he could. So we need to, in times of challenges, we need to be wise. We need to use wisdom, and we need to remember whose we are. Satan will try to tempt us, you know, just like he did for Adam and Eve and with Jesus in the challenging times. He even brings the challenging times, you know, forward. But there are three areas of temptation that are found in 1 John 2:16, Kathy. These are the areas that we might find some temptation in a time when we are being shaken. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And the next, "And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." So Satan tempted Adam and Eve in these three areas, and Jesus as well. He did it to try to draw them to him, away from God. And so these are the areas, if you remember, we read there in Genesis 3:6, we read about the lust of the flesh. That's one way that Satan will tempt us. Actually, for Adam and Eve, she saw that the tree was good for food. She saw it with her eyes. The tree was good for food. When he tempted Jesus, remember, Jesus was he went through a 40-day fast, and he was hungry. And Satan was tempting him. He said, command this stone to become bread, you know, if you're the Son of God. So that was the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes, she saw that the tree and its fruit was pleasant to the eyes. She saw it was pleasant to the eyes. And for in Jesus' case, remember, he took Jesus to the highest mountain and said, you know, look around. I'll give you all this. I'll give you all this if you worship me. And then the area of the pride of life. This is the third area that Satan will tempt. Eve saw that tree was desirable to make her wise. It was desirable to make her wise. That's dealing with her pride. And he said to Jesus, you know, throw yourself down from here. God will send his angels. And no, we're not supposed to tempt God. But all of those temptations fall into those three categories. So we need to make note of that and be alert. Just use wisdom. Those are the areas that Satan still tries to tempt every one of us. And it's affecting in our we need to know who we are in Christ. We already have everything in Christ. Satan doesn't want you to know who you are. Because if you know your true identity and you start beginning to use those spiritual weapons that he's given us, you know, the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but they're mighty to pulling down the lies and the strongholds of the enemy, then we wouldn't be able to enforce his defeat in the shaking. But we can. We can enforce that his defeat. And the enemy doesn't want us to know what we have available. He doesn't want us to know that as Jesus is, so are we. We're the same as Jesus. In our born-again spirit, we're the same. We're identical to Jesus. You know, Pastor Ralph is away in Rhode Island this week with, what's the prophet's name there?
Charles,
Prophet Charles, yeah. And Pastor Ralph shared with me this week that there was a gentleman or someone who had COVID-19 and was prayed for and was immediately healed from COVID-19. We don't have to fear COVID-19. I believe we do need to use wisdom. We do what we can. I tell you, I don't like wearing these masks at all. When I'm singing, I feel like I'm eating my mask. I don't want to eat that. But anyway, we're doing what we know to do. We've got air purifiers. We social distance. You know, we do use wisdom. You know, that virus is there, but it's not allowed to come through our threshold. We prayed over that this morning. But anyway, we need to know that we are identical to Jesus. That's part of our identity. Healing belongs to us. That's what we're sharing every Wednesday night in our Charis Healing teachings. We're using those teachings to just make you aware of who you are in Christ, make you aware of what Jesus has already done for you, make you aware of who's inside you. And healing belongs to each and every one of us. Everyone, that's our identity. So what about you? How is your identity holding up in this shaking? How's it holding up? You know, how's it holding up under the squeezing that the world is doing, wanting to make us form shape into its mold that it wants to, you know, form us into? Satan is behind that. But John Mark said that God is allowing it. He's allowing it. So according to John Mark Poole, it's a shaking and a testing and a fire to see God's church, his bride, return to him and to trust him totally through this whole shaking, to love him passionately. He kept saying the word passionately through the shaking. We're not to be turned off of course, but to stay on course, to narrow that course, and that course is God and his word. And so we're to keep pressing into God, keep praising God, and not quit. We aren't to let the devil's antics throw us off course. And so You know, recently I was sitting at my computer, and all these things were coming up, and so we have all kinds of things that come to us in our email, and so I was seeing all these headlines of these news articles. That just this one day I was sitting there, and one of the news articles said this. It said, "Terrified mother to 911 about protesters." So this woman is talking to the 911. She had called 911. She's talking to protesters. They're on my car right now, and I've got a little girl in here crying. If you remember that story. There was another article that I saw that same day. Police arrest suspect who brutally beat Macy's manager in an unprovoked attack. Another article. This is just the headlines. You can fill in the details, but these are just the headlines. A 64-year-old woman was choked and robbed in broad daylight in Manhattan. Another one. Shocking video shows heinous and unprovoked stabbing attack on New York City subway. Another one. Attorneys who aimed guns at protesters trying to protect themselves detailed chilling threats. We were told that we would be killed and our home burned. There are so many headlines, but those are, you know, those are a little disturbing, wouldn't you say? A little indicative of what we're seeing going on in our world. We're dealing with so much. We're dealing with so much. Those headlines reveal to me an overabundance of craziness going on in our world. And that kind of stuff, if we are focused on it all the time, that can distract us, that can veer us off course, it can affect our identity. And so we need to stay focused. That's why it's important to do what God says in His Word. Kathy, could you bring up the next scripture? This is a powerful scripture, an important one to memorize. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, not the world's, to my sayings. Let them, my words, not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. God's word is health to our flesh. Patricia was just sharing a testimony how God's word is health to her flesh. I think most of us in here have some awesome testimonies about that ourselves. God's word is true. But that word attend, I want to look at that word, Kathy. Could you put that Hebrew word attend is the word kashab. We've looked at this a few years back, but I want to look at it again. At this particular time, during this shaking time, the word kashab means to prick up the ears. Do you ever see, you're driving along or you might be walking along and you see a deer out in the field. And it hears you, and you know it might be eating some grass, but it'll pick up its head and it'll prick its ears towards you to find out what is that. That's prick your ears. That's kashab. It means to hearken. It means to attend. It means to cause to hear. It's to focus on that, to give heed, to incline, to regard. And so we read in 1 John 2:17 earlier that this world is passing away. So let's not get caught up in this world. You know, don't get caught up in the world, but God's word stands forever. The world is passing away, but God's word stands forever. His word never changes. It doesn't change. Kathy, could you bring up Isaiah 40, verse 8? This is the NIV version. It says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." God's word doesn't change. It endures forever. And at the next verse, Kathy, is Matthew 24:35. Again, this is the NIV version. It says, "Heaven and earth will pass away." We just read that in the previous scripture, right? "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." That makes His word our sure foundation. His word doesn't change. His word, that's our sure foundation in times of upheaval, in times of shaking. His word doesn't change. And he tells us to attend to his word, to hearken to it, to prick up your ears, church, to my word. There's some shaking going on. Prick up your ears. Attend to my word. And, you know, Jesus and the word are the same. Scripture says that Jesus is the word. Kathy, could do this one up there? John, first chapter, and starting at verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. He was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." So we're talking about a person. He was in the beginning with God. Next verse, Kathy. "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So that scripture said that Jesus is the Word of God. So Jesus and the Word are the same. Just like you and your Word are the same. You can't separate you from your Word. You're the same. Jesus is life. It said God's Word is life. You know, it says my word is spirit and life. And that word is the light. That scripture said the word is the light for all mankind. Well, what does light do? What does light do? It illuminates. It shows us the way. It shows us how to go. So Jesus is the living word. He is life. He shows us the way to life. And scripture says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And God's written word, it says, is, Kathy, a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. So God's word illuminates our way, even when the world is being shaken. So God is telling us in all kinds of situations that we're to be guided by his written word, and also by his living word, who is Jesus. They are the same. He says, you know, the world is saying something else. But when, you know, God is saying, follow me. When it's dark, follow me. When everything around you is shaking, follow me. That's what God is saying. He's saying, trust me. And God is saying, look at my written word. Look at Jesus. They're one and the same. They're identical. And I remember that song that we used to sing, and it, I don't know, maybe dating me, I'm not sure. But I know many of you probably know that song. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So if you want the things of the world to fade, if you want the news headlines and the chaos that's going on in the world, if you want those things to grow dim, to not be your focus, and that things that pull you down, that affect your identity, we need to turn our eyes onto Jesus and onto his word. That's what John Mark was saying. He was saying, focus on God. God says, attend to my word. Attend to it. My word is life and health to all your flesh. Kathy, could you bring up Hebrews 4:12 yet? For the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. The word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing even soul and spirit. It divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That's powerful. It's talking about the word of God, the written word of God, the living word of God. They do the same thing. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. You know, if the thoughts and attitudes of our heart are being affected negatively by the things of the world, that, you know, the things that we see going on, we need to change our focus. That should be indicative that our focus is not on the Word of God. Sometimes we have to shut off that TV. Sometimes we have to shut off Facebook and Google. You know, sometimes we got to shut them off and just get into God's presence. His word is powerful, and we need to focus on it and on him. That scripture said that the word of God penetrates even to dividing our soul from our spirit. Where is, you know, in our being, where is anxiety? Where is worry? In the soul. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in this body. But the anxiety and the worry, that is not in our born-again spirit. It's in our soul, the soulless realm, the flesh. That's where it is. We find if we study the word, if we study the word of God, if we see our spirit, what we have in our spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, we're a new creation, gentleness, self-control. You know, we've studied who we are in our spirit, but we got to remind ourselves of who we are in our spirit when there's shaking going on all over. We need to remind ourselves. We do that by spending time in the Word. We release what's in our born-again spirit when we meditate, when we attend to the Word, when we speak it out of our mouth. We release that from our spirit into our flesh. We've done that study. And so it's important when there's shaking going on to refocus, get back on the Word, find out what the Word says. Because the world and all the shaking and all those headlines and all the news programs that come out, they can get us unsettled. They can distract us. We have this same board. I have it back there on the table back there. You can have your own copy that you can carry home. You can't carry home my big poster. It won't go. But you can fit this in your Bible and take that along home and study it. God doesn't want us to be anxious or worried. Not for these next 7 months, not ever. He doesn't want us to be anxious or worried. However long that shaking takes place. He wants us to prosper. And we shared that scripture last week. It was 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So God wants us to prosper even when there's shaking going on. We can prosper in the shaking. God was speaking through John Mark last week, and he was telling us that through this time of shaking that he's allowing, we're to place our focus on God, and we're to spend intimate times with him, intimate times. And shake off those things that are not of him, to keep pressing into him, to keep praising him, to not quit, no matter how unsteady, how the shaking is going on. We're to keep standing in the face of all that pressure. And I believe the word of God is being tested in our lives right now. How much do you believe it? How much do you believe it? Are we going to be deceived by the enemy like Adam and Eve were? No, we're not. Do we really have that divine power that has given to us all things that pertain to life, like it says in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4? Because I don't know about you, but I tell you, what I see, this world is being shaken like nothing I've ever seen. That causes us to hone in more on the Word of God and on him. So, you know, do we really have exceedingly great and precious promises through them? And through them, can we experience the divine nature and come through all this shaking, you know, victoriously? The prophet that we had here last week said we could. Amen. The Word of God says that we can. And I say we can too. We can come through this victoriously. We may need to get into that word a little bit more, hone in on the word. We may need to spend a little more time dwelling in that secret place of the Most High God, spending some time with him until those anxious hearts calm down. You know, and when they quiet and we can finally say that he is my refuge, he is my fortress. In him I will trust today and every day. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler. He will deliver me from the snare of the enemy. You know, maybe Adam and Eve weren't totally delivered there. They were shook up there, and they followed that Fowler. But no, not for us. We're standing on the Word of God. We will not be allowed. We would not allow that Fowler to trip us up. And He'll cover us with his feathers, and under God's wings, under His wings, we will take refuge. We'll take refuge, and His truth will be our shield and buckler, and we won't fear. No plague can come near us. No virus can come near us. We need to declare that out of our mouth and believe it in our heart. You got to speak it. That's how we exercise our authority in this shaking. We speak His word, and we trust Him completely. So, what are you going to say out of your mouth over these next 7 months? What are you going to speak out of your mouth? The prophet said there's going to continue to be shaking and shifting going on the next 7 months. But he said at the end of those 7 months, there's going to be a change. It will shift. There's going to be a change. Does that encourage you guys? Yes. We had the prophet of God here last week saying that things are going to change. He'll see the change. We'll see the change in 7 months. That encourages me. That gives me hope, something to look forward to, you know? And so believe the prophets, and you shall prosper. Believe His prophets. You know, but God wants to draw us close during this time to trust Him and not the world. I was listening, and I want to share this. I was listening recently to another prophetic message that was given back in 2008. The message given back in 2008 was not for 2008. It was for a time coming, a decade or so later. And that prophecy, that prophetic message was given by John Paul Jackson. Anyone recognize that name? John Paul Jackson. That was back in 2008. Someone had sent this to me, and I listened to it. And as I'm listening to this, oh my gosh, it was just following what I just had heard from our prophet, John Mark Poole, that he just said last week. And so John Paul Jackson said this. He said that this message was, he gave it in 2008, but it wasn't for that time. It was referring to things that would be coming ahead over the next 10 years or so, in the next decade. And so he was talking about the perfect storm. The perfect storm, and how things would be coming together to create this perfect storm, and how that would be affecting us. And he talked about how much God loves this nation, but how many of our people have not been following Him. They've been following another God. And so, you know, how God, he talked about how God wants His church to be a living light again. And he said that here in America, we're unique because we have such a strong Christian foundation. We're unique. We are unique, just like Israel is unique. We're unique in that we have that strong Christian foundation. But he said the church is no longer the backbone of this country. He said we've gotten weak. And so he said the more darkness gets to rule over an area, the more the people will begin to call right wrong, and begin to call wrong right. That's scriptural. It's Isaiah 5:20. That's what we're seeing today. That's what we're seeing happen. I don't know if you've seen any of the footage from Portland, Oregon, but there's all kinds of stuff going on there right now. But he said the lines between holy and profane would become blurry. People would have a hard time deciphering between good and evil. Basically, that's what he was saying. In fact, he said that people are going to make choices, and those choices are going to affect us. I mean, what's going on in Portland? It's affecting other people. It's affecting people. In fact, he said that absolutes will be seen as intolerance. Absolutes would be seen as intolerance, first by the world, and then he said, also within the church. You know, the Bible is full of absolutes. The church needs to get on board with those absolutes. We speak the truth from this pulpit, unashamedly and boldly. There's a lot of social ills going on out there, but we speak the truth. We speak God's word, no matter what. I don't want to offend people, but God, if God said it, I have to speak it. That's my job. Remember that black robe?
Amen.
Remember the black robe? I got the black robe here. I'm just not putting it on. Okay. He said that all this stuff that he was talking about in that message would be leading up to the perfect storm. And he said, actually, that it was a warning. He said it would not just be for the United States, but that it would be worldwide. And he said in that prophetic message that was given back in 2008, he was referring to the time leading up to the storm and during it, he said that, this is what he said. He said that the church must return to knowing God intimately, not just knowing about him. Does that sound familiar? He said the church has grown weak and has fallen away. He said we've made God too small. We've made him too small, and our lives are indicative of it. He said we have to return to God and to love God, love his word, and believe it. That sounded a whole lot. Now, this guy spoke this. This prophet spoke it back in 2008. It sounds a whole lot like what John Mark Poole was saying to us last week about this time that we're in right now. And so, you know, God is an absolute. There's only one way to know him, and it's through Jesus. There's no other way. The world will tell you, oh, there's many ways to God. God said, there's one way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through me. And so he said that God was going to allow the storm. He was going to allow the storm. And he said it wouldn't be the wrath of God. He said, but it would be the love of God bringing correction. Yeah. It would be the love of God bringing correction to his church and to the nation. And so he said God would allow it. He would allow it. He said, God wants the church to be vibrant again, but that it would require prayer, fasting, yeah, repentance, a time set aside to be alone with God, to be intimate with God, to put your head on his shoulder, on against his chest. And he said that back then in 2000, he said, this nation is in a crisis, and it's because many have followed the wrong God. He said, God allows calamities to come on us to draw us to himself. God allows those calamities. And he said, walking in the ways of the God of this world, meaning he's referring to Satan, the God of this world, he said, that will allow for decay, destruction, deterioration, and death. Exactly what we've been seeing in this shaking. He said, we need to seek the Lord with all of our hearts and our minds. And he referred to the next scripture, Kathy, Jeremiah 29, verses 12 to 13. The Lord says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. All of your heart. Yeah. He said that people who don't know God, they'll be panicking during this perfect storm. They'll be panicking, and they'll be very dismayed. But that this is not a time to panic, he said. This will not be a time to be in panic mode. He said that we shouldn't be afraid. He said that we should plan, but that it was not time to panic. He said that we should rethink our focus. We can live our life by principles, or we can live it by pressure. We can live it by principles, or we can live it by pressure. You know, when times get challenging, we can lose sight of some of those principles that God has laid out for us. But God's principles will actually keep us focused if we stay on them. We got to stay on them. We need to attend to God's word, just like he says. And so we find his principles in his word. It's not a time to fear. And he said, know God, trust him, draw close to him, and he will draw close to you. You know, it seems to me that it's very possible that what John Paul Jackson was talking about back in 2008 and what John Mark Poole was talking about last week, it's very possible they were talking about this same thing that we're going through. Okay? This could be the very same thing. Whether or not they are, their solution is the same. Whether you're talking about the perfect storm or you're talking about shaking, the solution from those two prophets is the same. And we got to know what that solution is. And it's focusing on God. It's drawing close to God. It's spending time in His Word. It's remembering who we are and who we have in us. It's remembering whose we are. It's we're to pray. We're to repent. We're to focus on God. We're to love others. You know, I don't know what's all in store for these next 7 months. I don't know. John Mark Poole said the shaking is going to continue. But, you know, I think it would be wise to plan ahead. You know, this may have been a trial run that we were going through here these 4 months when we were shut down. Were you prepared for that? Were you prepared for that shutdown? You know, if you found yourself short of food, it might be wise, like Gary said, store up some food. Get some non-perishable food. Just prepare. I think it's wisdom. It's wisdom to have oil in our lamps. It's wisdom to have food on our shelves when things are not quite settled and there's a shaking going on. That's not fear. That's wisdom to plan, to be prepared. You know, non-perishable food. You know, do you have an adequate supply? Hand sanitizer was like, you couldn't get it. Now it's very plentiful. You can find it now. Might be a good idea to stock up on some. You know, there was a vast shortage of toilet paper. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, it might be a good idea to stock up on these things won't waste, you know. You'll have them, you know. I don't know what's coming these next 7 months, but just be prepared. I remember going out because we were going to be coming back to the church. Or we were planning on that originally, you know, back in March. And we were in need of toilet paper. And I'm going out to the stores. I'm like, what happened? Where's all the toilet paper? The shelves were bare. And so I finally found a little store in my town. I live in Mukunji, a little store that sells to restaurants and offices and things like that. And I said, you guys have any toilet paper? And they said, yeah, we do. And they come out with this huge box like this. I think there's 100 rolls in there, 90 rolls or something. I have it in the back there. So we're stocked, guys. We are stocked. We're prepared. We are prepared for whatever may come. We're prepared. So, or paper towels, you know, whatever. Anyway, it may have been our trial run for us, and I just believe it's wisdom to plan, prepare, just be prepared. You know, God loves us. He is for us, and He's not against us. And He's already declared that we win. So I know we can go forward. He will watch over us. He'll take care of us. You know, in Him, we live and we move and we have our being. It's in Christ that we live and we have energy and we have strength during times of shaking. And so I believe that we can trust God. None of this, guys, took God by surprise. Nope. None of it. He knew about all of it. And I believe He will deliver us out of it. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatsoever, whosoever, that's us. It's talking about us, and we will have victory in this world. We will overcome even by our faith. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you remind us every day, Lord, as we dig into your word, how special, how important we are to you. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. We are enough. We are more than enough. We are your children, Lord God, and you love us. Father, we thank you for your written word. We thank you for your words of life that encourage and equip and strengthen us, even in at times of challenging, shaking, and all that kinds of things going on in the world. We thank you, Father, for your words of life. We thank you for your sure foundation. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for the living word. We thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for us. Help us, Lord, to know who we are in you. Help us, Lord, to remind us who we are. Help us, Father, to take our focus off of all the chaos in the world and to come and just spend time and sit in your presence and be strengthened and encouraged by you. This is a time that you're calling your church back to you, to an intimacy, to a passionate love for you and for you alone and no other. And so, Father, I thank you that you draw each one of us throughout the week, Lord God, into that time, into that intimacy. Whether we have, you know, a work day and we have 10 minutes to spend with you, Lord, that be a supernatural time with you. Lord, for those who may have, an hour or two, whatever, to give to you, Lord, that time be so special. Thank you, Father, for strengthening us during that time. Lord, we just desire to love you. And Lord, we lift up this entire country. Lord, draw each of us back to you. Forgive this nation for its sins, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we say, have your way all across this nation. Open the eyes of the blind, Lord God. Remove the blinders from those who the enemy has deceived. Father, we desire this nation to continue to be blessed by you. We are a great nation. And we thank you, Father, for your church rising up at this time, during this season of shaking, that we stand up and declare that we are your children, and we do. We follow your principles, and we declare that unashamedly. Father, we love you, and we thank you for all that you've done for us in and through your Son, Jesus. Now bless each one as they go from this place, Lord God. I thank you that you fill each one of their hearts. Fill them with your peace, Lord God. Those listening by the phone, Lord God, I ask that you would just fill them, Lord, with your peace, with the shalom of heaven. And we thank you, Father, for your amazing and great love for each of us. And we take that love, Lord, out into the world. Thank you for your protection over us as we do it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.